Today's scripture reading is from Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. Paul, an apostle, not sent from man, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. I am amazed that you were so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accused. As we have said before, so I say again now, if a man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accused. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you known, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ.
This week, we are going to begin a new series in the book of Galatians. We would have begun it last week, and for those that were able to make it out despite the weather, you got the two-for-one special last week, as we took a little bit of a detour due to the light numbers, and we just kind of looked at really the foundation for the book of Galatians that was laid back in the book of Acts. The book of Acts speaks to us about the message of Christ Jesus moving out beyond the area around Galilee and Jerusalem and those areas. So the story of Jesus begins in that little area in Israel, area around the Sea of Galilee, the northern part of Israel, and it, a lot of it plays out in Jerusalem, and yet it wasn't intended that it would stay there, that the message of Jesus Christ would stop there. In fact, as Jesus is ready to leave this earth, return back to the Father's side, he gives the commission to the apostles, as well as to you and to me, and it says in the book of Acts, Jesus is speaking to his apostles. He says to them, don't leave this area. Stick around here in Jerusalem. And the power of God is going to come upon you. He himself, who is the author of this whole thing anyway, he will give you the ability. He will give you the power. He will enable you to be effective carriers of this message, to take it first into this area around Jerusalem and its surrounding area, Judea, take it to Samaria, and take it to the othermost parts of the earth. And so in the book of Acts, we see that's the opening. The book of Acts has been called the Acts of the Apostles. It's also been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But in one sense, it is a book that really never has its end, because what God began to do there, he's still doing today through you and me. But there in the book of Acts, Jesus gives the apostles the commission to take this under the anointing of God, the power of God, take this message to the othermost parts of the world. And as Acts plays out, and we see that happening. In the book of Acts chapter 10, we see God speaking to Peter, and through a tremendous dream, tells Peter that the message that they've been entrusted with is a message that's supposed to be even taken to the Gentiles. And God miraculously opens the door, lays the foundation for Peter to begin to take that message beyond just the Jews, but even out to the Gentiles. But with that, the apostles, and we even see it laid out for us in the book of Acts, we see questions coming into their mind as to how much of this message of Jesus Christ that they're supposed to take to the world, how much of what they've grown up with, the law with its sacrifices, with all its requirements, with its holidays and festivals, how much of that is supposed to stick with us? how much of that should be transferred and laid upon, especially those Gentiles who grew up not knowing anything of the Old Testament law, how much of what the Jews grew up with is supposed to be carried over into this new relationship, this new covenant with God. And so the book of Acts is a wrestling through with those questions, the questions as to where does circumcision fit in all this? How about the sacrifices? And how about the festivals? Where does all that fit in? And so we see apostles wrestling through with that understanding and how the Spirit of God helps them to understand what can be set aside, what was there for a temporary moment in time, and what was supposed to be enduring. We see them wrestling through with the role of Israel at large. What was their role in bringing the message of God, specifically restoration or righteous standing, righteousness with God? What was the role of Israel? What was the role of all its sacrifices? What was the role of the law? And so as they're wrestling through with that, we see God helping them to come to an understanding that all of that stuff, God intended that to be but an object lesson. If you have ever been to college, if you ever took advanced mathematics or sciences, if you ever got to where you did calculus and those kinds of things, you didn't just go to kindergarten or first grade and start to learn calculus. You didn't learn chemistry and physics in first and second grade. All through the years, the schools and the teachers that God gave you to your life helped lay a foundation for life at large and perhaps for a vocation that you ultimately grew into. But it was a process, layer by layer, built upon each other. And so the apostles, under the help of the Spirit of God, wrestling through with these questions, the Spirit helped them to understand that all that they saw in the law, specifically in the workings of God through Israel, that in their circumstances, God had simply given the people of the earth at large a living object lesson. A people of God that were living out what it looked like to live in a relationship with God. In their circumstances, in their situation, God gave them the laws. And we think about this being a heavy burden to them. When God gave this to the people, this was awesome. They had been a nothing group of people, lost with no identity down in Egypt. And God miraculously, through the leading of Moses, brings them out of Egypt, brings them through the Red Sea, and meets with them at Mount Sinai. Essentially, he marries them. He makes them his wife. And for people that were a nothing, they were a nobody, they were lost in Egypt and in its power and with its might and with its majesty, God brings that nothing people out from that place and he brings them to Sinai and he marries them and he lifts them up and he makes them his wife. And this is an awesome thing. And through the laws, he gave this nothing people an identity, a purpose. He gave them a place in all of history where people throughout time could look at them and say, wow, look at the awesome God that they serve. What other God can pull back the Red Sea? What other God has control of all the powers of the earth, that he can send the plagues at will, that he can protect his own people, that he can supply water in the desert and food from the heavens? What other God could do those kinds of things? And for Israel, when they first received this law, it was an awesome thing. It gave them that identity. It showed the world, and not just them, that God desires to live in fellowship with people. It was a tremendous blessing for them to receive that calling to live before the earth as a people that showed the glory of God. But in them also, not only do we see God's glory, but not only do we see his invitation to people who were separate to live in fellowship with him, the law also helped us and them to understand we can't do it. We can't live according to the righteousness, the holiness that God requires. No matter how hard they tried, every time they come and they do a sacrifice or they break a law, they have to do another sacrifice. It showed over and over again that no matter how hard they tried, That we as a people, even under the invitation of God to live in fellowship with him, we can't do it right. And so they were caught in this cycle. Live for God, sin by Monday. Answer the call, come to the place of worship on the Sabbath, and by Tuesday you're already mad at your neighbor and you got to kill a cow again. And over they saw that they were stuck. That by our own attempts, our own righteousness, that we could never live in such a way holy enough to be in fellowship with God. And that was all, that was part of what Israel, by their very existence, taught us. And so now we have this message of where the law fit and who the people of God were being woven into the story of God, working with mankind. And as the apostles began to move out of Jerusalem and Judea and out of Israel with the message of God, they became carriers, and they were trying to understand how much of that is there just for instruction, how much do we have to follow. And last week, for those that were here, we saw how Peter was given this tremendous vision and said this message has now got to begin to be taken out to the Gentiles. In the books of Acts chapter 13 and 14, we see God's hand upon Saul, who became Paul, and with him, those working with him, laboring with him, how they have now been, their hand of God is now upon them also to be specific instruments in taking this message of God and the gospel message of Christ out to the world. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 44, 45, in that area, we see that Paul and Barnabas and those that were traveling with him, they began to bring the message. When they first moved out from Israel into the Roman Empire, they began to visit the Jews first in the synagogues. And they found tremendous pushback, not just a disinterest, but active persecution against the message of Christ Jesus. And so it's in Acts chapter 13, after Paul and Barnabas had faced much persecution, that he finally says, now you guys have had the privilege. You were first in line. God accomplished his promises to begin with you. But now we, because of the hardness of your hearts, we're moving on. And the message of Christ is not dying here because of your persecution. In fact, we're going to take it to those that didn't even know him. We're taking it to the Gentiles. So in the book of Acts 13 and 14 last week, if you were to read through those, you find this is just a map of really kind of that Roman Empire area. And these lines here represent Paul and his traveling companions taking the message multiple times to the Roman world, to the Gentile world. But the book that we're going to dive into comes from this area of the Roman Empire called Galatia. This is a people, mostly Gentiles, part of the Roman Empire, that Paul, on the very first trip that he took, we call it his first missionary journey. They're trying to speak, they're trying to teach the freedom of Christ, and yet behind them comes that ever-present oppression, persecution of the Jews that are claiming, nope, you still got to live by all the laws, by all the rules. You still got to go through circumcision. And so the book of Galatians is Paul answering back all of those false teachings that came into the church of Galatia after he had already been there and gave them the truth. So they come in, they speak Jesus, and then Jews come in and say, no, who's Paul? He doesn't know anything. He's giving you false information. And kind of in his wake, Jews have come into the church of Galatia and are trying to require all of these new converts, non-Jews, to live under the Jewish laws. They're trying to require them to go through circumcision. They're trying to require them to live under some of the old laws. And Paul hears about it. And so the book of Galatians is him writing a letter back to that church, to that people, and say, no, that message that they're giving you is not it. You do not have to live by all those old laws. You don't have to go by circumcision. And so Paul writes this letter to bring correction to them. And we're going to dive into that letter over the coming weeks. We're going to look at the book of Galatians. As we do, you're going to find that the book of Galatians, which isn't a very long book, you could actually read it this afternoon. You can let the Spirit of God speak to you. The book of Galatians, as I kind of look through this, it more or less breaks up into three sections. The first two, the first section would be maybe chapters 1 and 2. I've called those the message and the messenger. Paul redefining for them, opening up, reminding them who he was. That he has a call upon his life, and the message that he carries is of God. And so we're gonna, as we step through chapters 1 and 2, we'll see that. We'll see the emphasis on the message and the messenger himself. In the middle of the book, chapters 3 and 4, we'll see him speaking about what it looks like to have been adopted into the family of God, specifically for Gentiles that are outside of the old information, that really didn't know anything about God until this message of Christ came. He's telling them, he's bringing them an understanding of what had they been invited into as Gentiles. And then at the latter part, chapters 5 and 6, he's gonna then dive into, okay, in this new family, how do we then live? And it's not, and he basically says, because of all the failures of the flesh in the past, there's a new life given us, a new way of living that is not self-motivated, not self-generated, but it is lived under the anointing, under the help of the Holy Spirit of God. And as we walk over through this book, over the next several weeks, we'll see this break into those basic three chapters. As we begin this morning, Galatians chapter 1, as Mike read for us, Paul opens this and he says, basically he's saying again, hey guys, what I've told you in the past, what I'm going to reemphasize for you today is not my own message. It is not something I invented. It wasn't something that I sat off and meditated for a while and came up with myself. He said, the message that I have brought to you was not one I decided for myself. In fact, he uses the word, he says, I am an apostle, sent one. That's what it means. Apostle means a sent one. One that has been sent forth by God. It wasn't that I went to college and I got a degree. It wasn't that I went through the structures of mankind and went through their four-year program and then two more years to get my master's and then go and got my PhD. He says, it wasn't that man put their hand on me. It wasn't that man gave me an outline to follow. He says, God himself put his hand upon me. In fact, I was living a different life, and he put his hand on me, and he called me, and he sent me forward with the message that I've given you. So you need, and Paul's saying to them, he says, you need to understand that what I'm speaking, I just happen to be the carrier. I just happen to be the messenger. I am bringing you something directly from the presence of God. And in that authority that comes with that position, could I ask someone to get me a glass of water? In that position, in that place of authority, Paul's saying that the message I have, you must give careful attention to this, because this is something that God himself is giving you directly. Now, how many people remember the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus? You kind of got the impression that when Mary is there, whatever she was doing, washing dishes, doing clothing or praying, whatever she was doing today, that the angel showed up. That would shake you up, wouldn't it? If you were just kind of washing dishes or cleaning the toilet and suddenly an angel's sitting there glowing, oh, I'm Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God and he has a message for you. You'd probably stop washing the dishes and at least listen. Yes? Well, that's what Paul's saying. He's saying the message I have that I'm giving you is directly from God. I didn't make this up. This is an important thing. You must hear my message. And so what he's trying to do is he's playing the Trump card, not President Trump, for those of you that play cards. He's playing the Trump card, and he's saying that this message trumps anything that you've heard from anyone else. This is the one that has come directly from God. He says it's not one that has been come by the agents of man. Thank you. Thank you, guys. No, I do not have bronchitis. My wife. Thank you. He's saying, as I've said, that this message is not from man. It's not from man's thinking, but it's directly from God himself. The New American Standard uses the word the agency of man. The King James says it's not of man. It didn't come from men, and it's not of men. And the Amplified says it doesn't come from any body of men.
No ministry council any place on the earth put this together. It comes from God directly. He says, I have been commissioned directly of God. He put his hand upon me, and I am but the ambassador to bring that message to you. Therefore, Paul's saying that I personally am responsible directly to God. Now, if he who had an encounter with God in the real encounter, he knew who he had sent him, he knew who he was responsible to, that he would stand before that same one that stopped him one day on the road to Damascus, to interrupted the course of his life, he knew personally that that one who miraculously interrupted the course of his life, he knew that he would stand before him once again to give an accounting for the purity of the message that he delivered. So in one sense, he's arguing for his own personal responsibility and accountability unto God to deliver that message appropriately and properly. He's also at the same time saying, and because of all that, you guys really need to listen to this message above anyone else. Anything else you hear, anything else that someone has told you is not this message. It is not the one that has come from the desk of God, the handwritten letter. It is one that has gone through the thinking of mankind, and it's wrong. It's to be rejected. So Paul's saying, I am responsible to God. In fact, because his commission is upon me, when I was in the Air Force and I wore stripes and a uniform, I was responsible to the authorities that put me in the position I was in. Paul's saying, in the same way, I am responsible to him. Legally, I have to get an accounting. But he's saying beyond that, beyond just the legal call, just beyond the fact that it's God himself, he said, I've made a heart choice. When I've seen what he's done for me, I cannot help but pour out of my love back upon him as well as upon you. I am enthralled with this God who loved me so much that he interrupted my life. And he took me out of the wrong way, out of that kingdom of darkness, and put me into the kingdom of his beloved son. And because of that, it's not simply because he has commissioned me. It's because the reality of the message I'm carrying has so washed over me, brought a newness to my heart and life, that in love response to him and in a love response to you, I want to be the best carrier of the purest message I possibly can. And so from both of those aspects, the responsibility that he carries as before God, as well as the heart plea of ministering unto God and ministering unto the people that he wants to bring into that correct fellowship, Paul pours out of his life and ministry. And so from that place of understanding, he reminds us that the call that God had upon his life didn't just begin on the Damascus Road one day, although that was the moment of transformation. Paul said that God's hand had been upon me throughout my life. He knew every corner I had been into. He knew every classroom I ever sat in. He knew every word I have ever spoken. He knew me. His heart, his mind was upon me since I was being woven in my mother's womb. It refers back to Psalm 139, verse 16, where it says, your eyes saw my unformed body, when David declared, all the days that were ordained for me were written in your book before there even one of them came to be. And Paul, as you read through the first chapter of Galatians, he says, God had his hand upon me from the very beginning. He was there and part of my, when I learned the things of the law, and Paul tells us in the book of Acts, all that he was. He basically had his PhD in Old Testament law. He knew everything coming and going. He was a teacher, an instructor of those things. He had all the stripes and accolades and all the ribbons all over his body and all the diplomas hanging on his wall. And he came to an understanding that they didn't mean a thing. Yeah, they gave him an understanding of the law, but they still left the gap. But Paul said, I understand now that all of those things, even though for a while they took me in the wrong direction, that God's hand was upon me, his eye was upon my heart and life, and he used all those things to prepare me for the message I'm bringing you now. In the same way, you and me. Regardless of where you've been, regardless of how your life began, regardless of the places that you've been, the struggles you face, God's eye is upon you. Romans tells us he has an understanding of purpose for your heart and life, and he will use everything that's been part of your experience to this date and forward for your good and the good of others. And Paul's saying, God's hand, his eye was upon me from even when I was being formed in my mother's womb, that the purpose he had for me to bring to you the message of God in fullness and in clarity, that everything about my life is woven into me. He put it there, he used it, and he's still using it. So again, as he opens this letter to the people in Galatia, he's reminding them of who he was. He's reminding them that his commission is directly from God and that they must listen very carefully to both him and the message that he carries. His message, his commission was from God. And so the book of Galatians is, with all of that, he's going to bring correction to the improper message that they've heard. That in addition to believing on Jesus, that they still got to live by some of the Old Testament laws and rituals, specifically circumcision. Paul's saying, not so. He's saying that was there for a time, but we've gone beyond that. God used that for a purpose then, but now we're in a new reality. In verse 4, in the passage that Mike read for us, he said, Jesus gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. Deliver us out of all the corruption of the world, all of its own perspectives, all of its own failures, that God sent Jesus to bring the fix. And so as you continue to read through the opening of Galatians, you come to chapter 10. He said, so with all of that background, with all that understanding, him personally, he challenges them. He says, so guys, if you understand these truths, what do you think I'm doing here? You think I came here because I want you guys to give me a bigger offering? He said, you think I'm here because I want more letters after my name? You think I'm here because I want my club to be the biggest club there is on earth? Who do you think I'm coming here to please? You think, you know, and he reminds all of us by his life. This Paul went through beatings and scourgings, rejections. He was shipwrecked, and the list goes on and on to the things he faced to bring the message of Christ. And he says, no, guys, if you stop and think, the message I'm bringing to you, amidst all the persecutions I faced to get it here and am still facing now, it's not because I'm here to please men. It's not here because I'm here to please myself. He said, but it's because I love God. I have sold myself out. I have chosen to serve him out of an overflow of love. And so, you know, there's many religions out there, and they all have, even today, thousands of religions to choose from. All of them have their own list of do's and don'ts. But in the midst of them all, Paul reminds us that the core of this Christian message is not a message of requirements. It's not a message of do's and don'ts. It is a message where that he himself is living out as a living example of what it means to live in a loving relationship, as one willingly submitting themselves to someone that loves them. Paul says, that's my very life. As you continue in the book of Colossians, he says, I was at one point. In fact, let me read it for you. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, Paul goes on in verse 10, he says, am I seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please them, I couldn't be a bondservant of Christ. And then he gives just a nugget of his testimony. Verse 11, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me was not in accordance to men. I didn't receive it from man. I didn't go to their seminary to learn it, but God himself revealed it to me in the revelation of Christ. You've heard my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church. I was an enemy of this very message. That's the way I used to live. I was an enemy of this message. I used to go out, try to destroy it. And because of that, I was advancing as though Judaism, I hadn't reached the pinnacle. You know, before Jesus, he was at the pinnacle. And then after Jesus came, the new pinnacle was go and kill everyone that believes that message. And Paul said, you know, I thought I had it before Jesus came. Then he came, and I thought, man, I'm gonna go even further in Judaism because I'm going to kill all those people that are against it. And he said, that's the way I used to live. He said, but, verse 15, when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, was pleased to do so, he called me by grace. Paul tells us what he used to be. He says, I used to have it all. I used to be part of that system that now I am actually challenging in your presence. I'm coming against their rules, their laws, and their traditions to tell you that that is not the path to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he declares in a different context, this is part of the reality of who he was. He says, I was all those things. But one day the message of Christ came to me, and it didn't come in vain, but it accomplished his purposes in me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says that he, being God himself, delivered me out of that old system, that old law, the kingdom of darkness. The reality, the structures that were anti-God, against him, God by grace lifted me out of one and put me in the other. Took me out of the kingdom of darkness and put me into the kingdom of light. And now, living here under the grace of God, under the blessing of God, I recognize how much he has given us in Jesus. He said in Philippians, he said, I count all things as loss. Everything that this world has to offer, its system of rituals, its systems of laws, its gold and its silver and its shiny accolades, its positions, he says, I count all of those as lost because now I've come into the understanding. And Paul, as he opens this letter, points at his own life as an example of the tremendous grace of God, who in an attempt to find God for a while was actually an enemy of the message of truth. And so Paul points to his own life and he says, you know, if you simply look at me, if you recognize how warped I was, how mistaken I was, and you see how God reached down into my life, a persecutor of Jesus and of his church, and he in grace lifted me from that reality and put me in his family, called me his own son. He says, this, my very life, is the message that we who were once enemies of God have now been called to be partakers of all that he is. And so Paul points to himself as he opens the letter. He says, just look at me. I'm not just speaking of the 10 bullet points that I learned in college. I'm not just giving you chapters 1 and 2 and 3 of a book I read. Paul's saying the message I'm bringing to you, I'm it. Look at my life. You'll see the power of God, the glory of God, the love of God, the heart of God. You'll see it in me. And so Paul points to his own life, the reality of God's hand upon him, to prove out that there's a truth beyond the Old Testament law, the Old Testament rituals. That God is at work in the lives of people who by faith will respond to this message. Not through the acts of the Old Testament law, not through circumcision, not through rituals, not through traditions. He says that God is at work in the lives of those who receive this truth by faith. And he says, and I'm living proof. Just look at my life and you'll see the power that God is conveying. He says, I was all those things. I was a persecutor of the church. But verse 15 is that transition point, and it opens with that word, at least in the New American Standard, it says, but God. I actually did a message one time, I chuckled as I said, the butts of God, spelled B-U-T. We all have lists of realities. We all have lists of failures. We all have lists of struggles. Against all those things, that list that seems to keep on going on and on and on, in the middle of that, there's this big word with a sparkling explosion around it, but God. Yes, Paul was rebellious. Yes, Paul was a persecutor of the church, but God. When God himself decided to act, the sovereign, unchallenged king of the universe, when he made a decision, when it was making him happy, when it pleased him, he acted. And in me and through me and through my life and through my circumstances, when he was pleased at the right moment in time, it sounds like, in fact, you find it later on. This is the book where it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. Yes, there's realities that you and I live under, struggles we face day by day, wrong understandings of truth. But God has a purpose and a moment in time, and day by day, he's doing something in you to bring you to a better understanding. But God. Every one of us would be lost and struggling without any hope in the future, but God has opened the door. When God chose, when God in the fullness of time in regard to Paul's life and in regard to the need of the church at large, when it pleased God, God chose in Paul's very life and circumstances to reveal the reality of Jesus Christ, to reveal his son in me. Paul saying, the message I'm bringing you is not just one written on paper and pencil, with pencil. He says, I am it. My life, my transformation, who I am, in me, Jesus Christ is revealed. Galatians 1, verses 22 to 24, Paul closes kind of what we call chapter 1 with this declaration, with a testimony. He says, what God has done in me, his hand upon me to take me from what I was and to make me what I am today, to take me from one who persecuted the church of God, to make me one who loves him so much I cannot help but continue to help it grow. Paul closes that portion of Scripture. He says this, because of that working of God, that the message of what God had done in me, the transformation had gotten out there. Remember that arrow, the picture I showed you at the beginning? The message of Jesus Christ, the gospel spreading out? It wasn't simply something that was written on paper. It was in lives being transformed. And Paul said, I was personally unknown to the churches in Judea that are in Christ. But they heard a report. No, they didn't know me. I would walk down the street. They wouldn't know me from Adam. They wouldn't recognize me. They couldn't. If I walked into a room, they wouldn't know who I was. But because of God's hand upon me, the transformation, that the power of God in my life, the message of what God had done in me had gotten out there. And people that didn't even know me personally, when they heard what God had done in me and through me and was still doing, they burst into praise of God. That God got glory in the testimony of my life. And so Jesus was being revealed not simply by his words, but by his very life. Paul said, they only heard the report, this report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they were glorifying God because of me. My brothers and sisters, if someone were to, someone that doesn't know you personally were to hear the story of your life, what you were and what you are, what you faced and what you are now, what you're struggling through and where your confidence is, if people out there were to hear the story of your life and not even know you personally, if they were to hear that story, how would it reflect on the goodness of God? Because that's what you and I have been called to. Your life and my life, the things we struggle through and the ways that we trust in God through them all, have an opportunity to bring honor and praise to God or not. Many of you know my daughter, Laura. Laura Senko, she and her husband, Jake, had attended with us for a while. My daughter, Laura, has epilepsy, and it is really bad. She finally, after facing it for years, was recently referred to doctors down in Philadelphia. One of the top neurosurgeons in the world evaluated her case. And he told her recently, he said, you are a unicorn. He said, in all the years that I've been doing this, it was something like 40 years or something, He said, I've never seen a case as severe as yours. And he said, basically, I'd have nothing I can give you. He said, well, we can try some medications and some adjustments, but he says, there's no guarantee. My daughter, Laura, recognizing on the one hand, that's a reality. She is a unicorn. If anyone knows her story, if you follow her on Facebook, she nevertheless sings. She's like the canary in the cage that sings of the goodness of God. And I know some of my brothers and sisters in here, the struggles that you faced, how your trust in Christ Jesus in the midst of your struggles brings honor and glory to him. And in the same way, you and I have the privilege of doing this, that the story of God's working in our hearts and lives would bring honor and glory to God. And so Paul's message, he says, as he's challenging them to come back to the truth and the message, he's saying, the message I'm bringing you is a message of truth and reality that goes beyond the teachings of men. It is a transformational power that in some way impacts lives, that it brings honor and glory to God, not because you followed the rules, not because you came to church every time that the doors were open, not because you gave 10 or 20% of your income to the church. It's not because of all those rules. It's not because you put yourself under the knife and got circumcised. He says, because in your life you've submitted your heart to God, and the transforming power of his work in you has done so much to change you that the world takes notice and God gets glory. So the question, and so again, he makes this comment as he opens the book of Galatians. He says, I'm amazed. And again, we read that, I'm amazed at how you've turned your hearts. Man, Paul was screaming. Basically, I'm going to cover your ears if you don't like to hear four-letter words, because I only use one. Paul's basically saying to the Galatians, what the heck? He said, what in the world are you turning away from this message of hope and life and transformational power to follow the teachings of some synagogue leader someplace? You've seen it in me. You've experienced it through my ministry. You yourselves have begun to walk it out. What the heck are you doing? Walking away from this reality and embracing something that's not truth. And that's the message Paul's going to bring. There is no other gospel message, Paul challenges them to. There's nothing else that man could give you, no other teaching that would so prove out the glory of God. That doesn't show up too good. But here's where I want to end this day, as we just laid the foundation for what we're going to walk through in the book of Galatians. This is not just a letter written to a church thousands of years ago. This is a letter written to you and to me today, as a reminder that in the same way, the transformational power of God is upon you, is available to you day by day in every circumstance that you face, to bring you continually, increasingly out of the trappings of the world, its philosophies, its practices, its mindsets, to bring you far out of that kingdom and that way of living into the kingdom of peace and of joy, of love, of contentment, of abiding in the presence of God, unfettered, unchanged by the requirements and the demands of man. This is the message that Paul is going to stir them to as he writes this letter to them. And it all begins, again, not by him showing his credentials from a college. It's like his call upon God, anointed calling as an apostle of God, is not just in the words that he brought. It's in his very life itself. My brothers and sisters, you and I are apostles in a similar sense. You and I today are the ones that are sent out to live in the world that doesn't understand our God. As far as they're concerned, he's just one other God, maybe 49th on the list of all these options that you have. That's what they would say. It's fine for you to trust him, but I have my own way of doing things. I have my own God or not. The reality is, when we live in the fullness of the freedom of Christ Jesus, the power of God transforming us in hope and love and freedom of worship, unfettered by all those laws, the fragrance of that worship would reflect honor and glory to God and draw others. And the question is that what your life is doing to the world around you? is the fragrance of your life, the smell of your life, sweet to others? Does the testimony of your life and your walk with Christ Jesus percolate out even to circles beyond where you directly interact, that people that would hear the story of your life, that they would bring honor and glory to God? Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, you and I, the old life and the old way of living, we're done. When we came to the cross, it was done. And now the life that we live, our life, should be hidden behind the person of Christ. The way we live, in everything we do, in everything we say, in every reaction to every trying circumstance, the world should see Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, it says, yes, you can't do this by yourself, because that's what Jesus came to overcome. The old attempts, the old laws. He said, when you open your heart and the Spirit came in, that Spirit merging with your life, the two merged together, created a brand new being that never existed before. You and God dwelling together, one person living your life under His move. In order that in the ages to come, beginning now and today, Ephesians chapter 2 says, that He might, through your life and mine, here today and throughout eternity, be able to point to you and say, you want to see how good I am? Look at this person's life. He did it for Job. Job didn't even have the fullness of God. And in the midst of his struggles, God pointed even to the enemy and said, hey, check this out. I got one that loves me and doesn't even see me. And the enemy says, well, take everything away from him and see what happens. And he did. Same thing with us. You and I had the privilege of reflecting honor and glory to God even in the midst of difficulties to show how wonderful, how valuable, how sweet, how precious He is. They glorified God because of me. Insert name here. There is no other gospel message that God wants to bring forth but your life transformed. That is the gospel. Amen. How about if you stand with me? We're going to turn, look to our praise team.